Greetings, this is Pastor Thomas A. DeLoach, and this episode is brought to you by To Empower You, a podcast dedicated to helping young adults and young couples achieve their goals and dreams from a biblical context. Pastor Thomas A. DeLoach. Thank you for tuning in to To Empower You. As always, I am your host, Thomas A. DeLoach, and I'm so excited to have you connecting with me for these few moments in time. And on today's show, I want to talk about living in victory every day. And if this is your first opportunity listening to me, I want to give you a hearty welcome. As always, this is a teaching podcast, so get out your pens and paper and a Bible, and I'm going to share with you the word of the Lord today. We're going to start here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. That's 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. And the NLT translation says this: "For every child defeats this world, and we achieve this victory through our faith." I'm going to say it again, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. "For every child defeats this world, and we achieve this victory through our faith." We've got to understand that faith is so important to achieve anything that we want to do in God. And this victory mindset is simply that. We have to have a victorious mindset to be able to deal with the challenges and certain things that we start out to do in our life, especially in the morning as we start our day. No organization, no marriage, no company, no business, no anything wants to start their day out being defeated, because how you start really is how you might finish. So we've got to start this year with a victorious mindset. And I think this show is going to deal with some things that I pray that will be a blessing to your life. I'm going to deal with three areas that I think we need to have some victory in every day, because if we really can get this in our spirit, but more importantly, if we can apply what I'm going to say to you today, I really do believe you're going to have a victorious 2021. Let's not look behind us. Let's not look in the past. All the things that didn't happen last year, that's over with. So let's allow our focus to move forward in the things of God. Now, the first area that I want to deal with as it relates to living in victory every day, obviously, is our faith. Because faith is how we transact with God. It's how we receive from God. It's a transaction thing. Anything that we receive from God, we need our faith, just like we need money to transact in this world. Well, to transact in the kingdom of God, we need our faith, and we need our faith working at a high level, a strong level. Notice what Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now, for many of us, we understand this whole concept of without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so many of us might be able to say, well, I do have faith and I think I'm pleasing God. But this second part is something that many times we don't work on. And we got to practice this, especially if we're going to live in victory every day. And that is, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's consistently. If you have faith, you gotta have faith to seek God. Because he says, if you do, I will reward you if you just spend some time with me. Catch that. Many times we miss out on our blessing because we won't seek God. But he says here, clear as day, if you seek me diligently, I will reward you. Now, God is so smart because he knows that many times we won't seek God if there's not anything in it for us. Well, right here, there's something in it for you. And if you're going to live in victory, you must seek God every day. And if you believe God, then you got to believe him enough to start your day and say, I'm going to diligently seek him, not so much for things, but I'm going to seek him to know who he is in my life. And I'm going to seek God so that there's some things that I'm missing out on that I'm tired of missing out on. There's some things that God wants to share with me. He wants to talk to me about. He wants to give me some love and instruction on how to deal with day-to-day challenges. So don't miss out on your blessing. Don't miss any reward this year because you're too lazy to seek the face of God. It may cost some sacrifice, which means you got to get up early. Before the kids get up, before you go to work, start your day diligently seeking God, because I promise you, based on the word, He will reward you. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust Him and not be afraid. The Lord Himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation." Man, that's powerful. So for people today that are afraid to go outside, they're afraid to go here, they're afraid to go there, they're afraid to send their kids to school. So many people live in fear that they can't get into this thing called victory. But your faith must put everything you have squarely on the word of God. And He said, "I will trust and not be afraid." Notice that the word of the Lord says that God is my strength and my defense. God says, "I'm looking out for you. I'm your strength." When you're weak, feel like you can't do what you need to do, when you don't have the energy, when you just feel like I can't go anymore, God says, "I'm gonna be your strength and your defense. I'm gonna defend you. I'm gonna protect you. I'm gonna make sure that everything will work out good for you." He is our salvation. Not at the point of salvation, not when you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior. No, God is constantly saving us from things, constantly saving us from things that would happen in our day-to-day life. And this is why we need faith to be strong this year, so we can trust God and not be afraid. Isaiah 41 and 10 says, "So do not fear," here's that word again, "for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you." There it is again. God says, "I'm going to give you strength and I'm going to help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand." There's a theme here. God says, "I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to be your help, but you cannot be afraid." And I believe in God that He's going to rebuke the spirit of fear out of us, because He didn't give us that spirit. You know that fear will cause you not to do certain things you want to do or things that you need to do. So if we're going to have a victory mindset, we've got to get rid of fear. And God says, if you put your faith in me, if you put your confidence in me, I'm going to make sure that everything for you is going to work out right. Psalms 37 and 5, notice what it says. "Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do this." Man, that's powerful. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do this. This is powerful. This year, commit your way to the Lord. We've committed certain things to certain people, but take your commitment away from them and put it in God's hand. When you commit your way to the Lord, you can be a better husband, a wife, you can be a better child, you can be a better friend, you can be a better coworker, you can be a better member of a church or organization. You've got to commit your way to God this year, and you got to have faith to do this, because if you do, notice what He said. He will do this. Do what? The things you've committed for Him to do. God is saying, if you would just commit your way, your lifestyle to me, I will make sure that the things that you've committed to me, I'm going to cause it to work for your good. I'm going to bring people in your life that will help you to achieve certain things. All last year, maybe your battle cry was, "I don't have any help. I can't get things done. I start, I fail, I capitulate, I turn around. I just can't get it done." God says, "I got a solution for you. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this." Put the word of God to the test. I'm telling you, God's word cannot lie. The first area is our faith. Number two, area two is family. One of the ways that the enemy brings discouragement is through our family dynamic, our family unit. If the enemy can't get to you directly, he will use your spouse, your children, or even a parent to disrupt your peace. Notice when the enemy is coming, he's trying to take your peace away. Because peace is so important. People are looking for peace, trying to buy peace through relationships, through certain things. But I'm telling you, peace only can come from God. God is really the only one that can give you His peace. And for Christians and believers, we've got it. If you will receive the peace of God by faith, you can live in victory every day of your life. So now we got to shut down the enemy in our family that would try to disrupt our peace or the way that we go about our life. Because, you know, when you don't have any peace in your heart, then everything is crazy. Everything is difficult. You pressing on all sides. And God is saying, I have given you my peace, but you got to guard it and you got to protect it in your family dynamic. And I'm believing that God is going to release a special anointing this year of peace over your family. No fighting, no fussing, no feuding. Why? Because we need one another in a family dynamic. So start seeing your family as a gift to you and not a burden. I'm going to say that again. Start seeing your family as a gift and not a burden. When God gives gifts, He gives them through people. So if you have a spouse or children, that is a gift from God. So treat them right. Don't mistreat them. One of the things that's running through families is a word called familiarity. We're familiar with a wife or a husband or children because we live with them every day. So it's easy to take them for granted. But I want to tell you, God is the giver of all good gifts. If you're a husband, you sleeping next to your wife, that's a gift of God. The other way around, the wife sleeping with the husband, that's a gift from God. You see your children healthy. Do you know how many people wish they could have kids? And if you have some, you are blessed by God. People are doing all kind of things to have children. And here you are. God has blessed your womb to be able to deliver a child. You are blessed. So you've got to start seeing the gifts of God within your family dynamic as something, as a blessing from the Lord. So refrain from the spirit of familiarity. You know, you just with them every day and you're like, well, they're going to always be here. But that's not true. Never take a gift from God for granted. Never allow yourself to say, well, you know what? I'm having a bad day, so I'm just going to take it out on the wife or the husband or the children. No, we got to keep peace within our homes. So I want to encourage you to see what God is doing in the lives of your husband or your wife or your children and affirm that. Don't always be negative about stuff that you see going on in your family, but speak truth to power. Speak the word of the Lord over your wife, over your husband, over your children. Say that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. They're smart, they're intelligent, they're loving, they're kind. We already know within ourselves the stuff that we struggle with, but what we don't want to do is arouse sin nature through the things that we say. Because the more you keep telling your spouse how bad they are, they're going to continue to do it just despite you. The more that you continue to say that about your children, they're just going to continue to be disobedient just despite you. So speak life into them, even when they're not acting right, even when they're not doing what you want them to do, continue to speak the word of the Lord over their lives. Notice what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verses 4 through 7 says. This is a familiar passage of scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. It says, love is patient. Wow. Love is kind. It does not envy. It's not boastful. It's not proud. Verse number 5 says, it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, y'all. The Bible is true. But there's one thing here in this passage that stuck out to me. It does not envy. Let me give you a definition of envy. Envy means a feeling of resentment, awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another, joined with a desire to possess the same advantage. Now, you would think that there wouldn't be any envy in families, but it is. It's a lot of envy in families. And I don't understand why, because why be resentful of what you see another family member enjoying? God is saying, whatever I do for one in the family, I want to do for all. Whatever God is doing for the other spouse, he wants to do it for the same spouse. He wants to do it for the kids. God is into blessing the family. But what the enemy does, he wants to come in and wreak havoc and cause siblings to be jealous of one another, cause husbands and wives to be envious of one another. We got to shut that down in the name of Jesus and say, I'm going to live in victory every day. And love is patient. When I love somebody, I'm patient with them. I'm kind towards them. I don't keep record of what they're doing wrong. We got to stop doing that. Don't keep record of what the spouse is not doing. You didn't wash your dishes. You didn't take out the garbage. You didn't do this. You didn't do this. The kids didn't clean up the room. You know, we like to keep records. And maybe you're not writing it down on paper, but you could be keeping record of this in your mind. So every time something happens in the family, you bring up something that happened 2 months ago, something that happened 30 days ago. Here's something you need to practice. When something happens in the family, deal with it then. Don't wait 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 6 months, because that stuff is building up. That stuff is gaining momentum in your heart, and then you are easily angered and upset about it, and you're blowing up. But deal with it right then. Move on in love. Move on in peace. Move on in grace and mercy, because you know it's something you're going to do to upset somebody else. So we've got to start practicing again, living in victory. And this is one of the most powerful ways I know to do it, because there is so much contention in the family dynamic. But again, we've got to shut it down. Don't allow it to fester. Don't allow it to gain momentum. When you see it happening, shut it down. When you see it happening in your kids, do something about it. When the spouse is upset and it's a misunderstanding, sit them down. Hey, baby, let's talk. Let's get this out. Let's deal with this. We like to sweep things under the rug, but we cannot do it. We got to deal with it. And when we do, we will see victory. We will have victory, and we can move on, because it's not automatic. Victory is not automatic. I wish it was. Every sports team wish they could show up and get the victory. Nope, we got to go out on the field to play. We got to battle it out, and the best man is going to win. And whoever put in the preparation, whoever put in the game plan, the schematics, all of those things will come out more often than not victorious. Area number two is in our family. Area number three, the final area I want to deal with today, is finances. One of the biggest distractions on the planet is what to do with money. What should I do with the money I'm bringing into my home? Now, if you're a Christian, you're a believer, I'm talking to you today. What am I supposed to do when I get my paycheck? Many people don't know what to do with a dollar. They don't know what to do with the paycheck. And if you don't know what to do, I can guarantee you, you don't have victory. You have a bunch of debt. You have a bunch of bills that you're not paying. So we've got to get the victory in our finances. And by God's grace, I'm believing he's going to give you the wisdom to have victory in your money this year. As a matter of fact, say it to yourself. I'm going to have victory in my finances this year. Come on, say it again. I'm going to have the victory in my finances this year. We need to learn who to consistently honor first, not second, not third, but first. Now, as it relates to money, God is who we honor first before anything else. Let me deal with this. You're a Christian, you're a believer. When you get your paycheck, you should tithe first. Give the tenth to God first. You're returning it back to him because the Bible says to do so. Now, there are a lot of people who are up and down about tithing. This show is not about tithing. Maybe I'll do that in another show. But the reality is, tithing is a biblical principle. Before the law of Moses, You saw this tithing principle play out in the book of Genesis. And we see it with Abraham and others who tithed before the law came into existence. And so when we receive our paycheck, if you are blessed to have a job, God is saying 10% of that belongs to me. And when we do this, what we're doing is we're getting our finances in order so God can bless our money. So we give the 10th, we got 90% left, and the Lord will teach you how to do right with your money. Many times we get in this place of confusion because we don't know what to do. And anytime we spend money on ourselves first, pay the bills first, then we don't know what to do with the 90 because we're confused, because there's a spirit of lack on our households when we don't do things right. But we've got to understand who to honor first. And when this foundational principle is laid correctly in our lives, victory is sure to follow. Now, for people that are not Christians that are listening to this show, I don't expect you to understand tithing, but if you will get this principle, give your life to God and get this principle, I'm telling you, God can work a miracle in your finances and bring you out of debt. I've seen it happen before. It's happened to me. It's amazing when we do first things first. And money got a strong spirit attached to it. That's why we are bad decision makers when it comes to money. But when we just honor God first, He will give us wisdom. He will give us knowledge and understanding and tell us to do certain things. And when you do it, you'll see the victory happen in so many areas in your life. I promise you. God says, I want you to make sure that you are tithing. I want to make sure that you are doing what you need to do. Because when you do, oh my goodness, the power of God is just going to flow like never before in your life. Now, let me deal with this spirit of mammon, because I think this is important too, this spirit of mammon, because it has taken over in so many different ways. The spirit of mammon has confused many believers, and that's why we've become, again, bad decision makers. Every time I receive my paycheck, the spirit of mammon is there to take my money. It is there to bring confusion about who comes first. But when I really trust God with my finances, I can quickly rebuke the evil spirit of mammon and give that 10% back to God. Now, let me deal with this quickly. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, I want you to hear the word of the Lord. It says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. I'm going to read that again. Matthew 6, 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. It's impossible. You can't serve God and money too. You've got to serve God, and then money will follow you. We got this wrong as believers. We go after money. We go after the best job to make money because we're not trusting God. But when we're trusting God, we serve Him, and He will cause money to find us. And again, money is such a strong spirit because we need it in this world system. Money answers all things, the Bible says. But I like to say it like this. Money answers the things that money can answer. And so we need to eat. We need to pay bills. We want to do some things for people. So in this world, we need money to be able to transact. But we have to have faith in the kingdom of God to trust Him and take Him at His word so we can do what He has called us to do. Now, I want you to say this to yourself. I am a master of money. That's right. Say it. I am a master of money. You got to master money. If you don't, money will master you. It will control you. And money going after it will make you more of what you don't want to be. If you were a liar when you were broke, when you get money, you'll be a bigger liar. If you were a cheater when you were broke, when you get money, you'll be a bigger cheater. All it does is arouse and exacerbate more of what you are. And this is why we've got to trust God with our finances and not allow this spirit of mammon, confusion, to cause us to serve money when we should be serving God. Notice what Luke chapter 16, verse 11 says. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you your true riches? I'm going to say it again. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Now, if you are not faithful in paying bills, if you are not faithful in unrighteous mammon, if you don't know what to do with a dollar, then how can God trust you with true riches? Let me deal what those true riches are. True riches are things money can't buy, like God's love, God's peace, God's power, God's anointing. So the word of the Lord can read like this. So if you can't be trusted with unfaithful or unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust God's love, God's peace, God's power, God's anointing? God says, if I can't trust you with a dollar, I can't trust you with the anointing. Wow. I can't trust you with my peace, with my power, with my influence. Things that money cannot buy that God can give to us. God says, if you're unfaithful in money, you'll be unfaithful with my anointing. Come on. I'm saying something here. You will be unfaithful with God's love. You won't give it correctly. You won't allow it to flow through your heart. Everything, believe it or not, and money to God is the lowest thing. That's why we should not be going after it. Money is at the bottom. It's under your shoe. You're greater than money. But people kill, steal, lie, cheat to get money. And as Christians, as believers, we can't do that. If we're going to live in victory every day, we've got to get the victory over our finances. And dealing with this spirit of mammon is the best way I know. And that's allowing God's word to shift and change your heart so that you can see the spirit of mammon when it's trying to come up on you. Every time God is asking you to give and you clenching your fists, spirit of mammon. Every time it's time to tithe and you want to hold it back, the spirit of mammon. God is saying we got to do something about this. And I want to encourage you. If you haven't been faithful and tithing and giving, I want to encourage you to get back on it. Repent, say, God, I messed up, but put God first and allow what he said to come to pass in your life. Last verse of scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 17. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they may be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Notice he says, charge them that are rich in this world. They need a charge. He's not coming against people that have money. He's charging them. He's saying that they may not be high-minded. In other words, when you get money, don't think you're better than other people. High-minded, heady, proud. You got to guard against that when you got money because you have an advantage that most people don't have. But the more money you get, the more you ought to spend in prayer. Spend time with God. Make sure you're hearing from God because ultimately it is his money that he has flowing through you as a manager of his trust fund. Did you hear that? It's not your money, it's God's money. And allow God's money and his wisdom to flow through you so you can manage it and do what he has called you to do. If not, money will take over. He says, charge them that are rich in this world that they might not be high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches. Money is an uncertain rich. It is. It's uncertain riches. It's here today, gone tomorrow. But God's love, here to stay. God's power, here to stay. God's acceptance is here to stay. We got to make sure we're in the right place. And I believe that when we do this, we're going to see God moving and flowing in every area of our life. Area number one was our faith. Area number two was our family. And area number three was our finances. These three things, I believe, God is going to give you the victory in every day. So go back over these scriptures, get them in your heart, and apply them to your family dynamic, apply it to your faith, and most certainly apply it to your finances. And I believe you will see the victorious power of Jesus Christ happening in your life every day. All right, that's all that I wanted to share with you today. I pray that this particular episode blessed you. If it did, shoot me an email at info@thomasadeloach.com. Go to my website if you want to be a financial partner with me and these episodes are blessing you. Why don't you sow a seed and help me produce this show? It's not free. It does cost me something. But if you are being blessed, then give something to the Lord. No dollar amount is too big or too small. Go to my website, www.thomasadeloach.com. Scroll all the way down to the bottom of the screen. You'll see the donation tab, and you can give there. And I promise you, the Lord will bless you real good. Is my prayer. I know He will do it. Take this word today and do something with it. I'm praying for you, believing God's best for you today. And all throughout the new year, God is going to give us victory every day. God bless you and be empowered. Thank you for listening to my show, To Empower You. If you were blessed, inspired, and encouraged, please send me a praise report, prayer requests, or show ideas to info@thomasadeloach.com. And follow me on Instagram at Thomas A. Deloach and Facebook at Dr. Thomas A. Deloach. And remember, you can go to my website anytime at www.thomasadeloach.com. Until next time, be empowered.